Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey, do you want to hear me fangirl hard? Listen as I get to interview one of my very favorite singers, Jenny Owens. Jenny Owens' songs have been a staple of my faith for as long as I can remember. In chatting with Jenny today about hope, changing songs in our heart, and responding to the darkness with light, and cultivating hope was a dream come true. I don't even mean to be dramatic about that. I loved hearing more of Jenny's story, how she has continued to write this book and her music, and how it encourages us all to look for the songs in scripture and to fight darkness with truth. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited. If 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old Jeanette could see me now, she would just be over the moon. Because who knew that this kind of career path would lead me to sitting down with one of my favorite singing artists. Her songs really have been a pillar in my faith. And if you have the It's Time for Jesus devotional, you'll know that there's a playlist attached to it. And there's a few of Jenny Owens' songs on the playlist. So I get to hang out with Jenny Owens today. We're going to talk about her new book. I'm really excited about it. I'm probably talking way too fast today. But Jenny Owens, hiya.
Hi. Well, it's just because you're having espresso. So that's probably why you're talking about it.
Right. It's not because of this.
I talk fast too, especially the more coffee I have. So it's a good thing.
Well, Jenny, thank you so much for joining us for coffee today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
This is going to be so fun. What's in your cup?
Well, so I do boring coffee. But it is fair trade organic coffee, but I get mine from Aldi and I grind the beans myself and I do an AeroPress. So if you know what an AeroPress is, it's like kind of like a French press, except it has a filter in it. So, it's not as messy as a French press and it's plastic. So it's not fancy glass, but, so I make a cup at a time and then that way I don't drink too many cups. So better than having like a coffee maker. So, yeah, I grind it up and then, just had my second cup. So I'm almost I'm a little over halfway through my second cup. So, feeling good right now. Feeling good.
That's the best.
Yes. And I think this kind is the Peruvian, organic, roast and it's, yes, quite delish.
That's so good. We like I think what we have right now is a Honduran blend and it's so good. It's a medium. It's really, really good. We enjoy it a lot. What's your go-to coffee order when you're out and about?
Oh, it is usually, I am that person. It's usually, and because I can't do dairy, an almond milk cappuccino. If I live in New York City now, but if I go back to Nashville, sometimes I'll do a pour over because there's lots of good Nashville baristas that, that do pour overs. And so I'll do that. But yeah, usually it's an almond milk cappuccino and like maybe two shots of espresso is my happy place.
That's great. How is New York City right now? How are you feeling like in the city?
It's good. It's opening up a lot. There are people everywhere, which is pretty fun. Again, I've been concerned that we wouldn't see that again. But this weekend I went to the park and everyone and their cat and dog were at the park. And so I think of New York City, like I think of Central Park a little bit like heaven in a weird way, because everyone from every nation, tribe and tongue, like, you know, is represented and people are laughing and celebrating and having fun together. And it's a beautiful thing. So I really enjoy that. And so, yeah, it's feeling like it's opening up more and more every day, which is great.
That's nice. I hated seeing the photos and just hearing about how empty the streets were. Like it just seems so like apocalyptic to see New York City like empty. I'm like, oh, I hate this. Like, bring back the people, bring back Central Park, like the beauty and the bustle of the city.
I know. Well, I will say, yeah, it was really creepy living here too, because all you heard, like, it was dead silent outside, and all you heard were the sirens that came, like the ambulances every little while bringing COVID patients in to the hospitals. But I will say, Central Park has been sort of a haven of peace for most of that time. Because when you go to the park, well, any of the parks, when you go to the park, and which I would do frequently with friends, you just find all the people. And, you know, the kids are out playing kid park games, which is so fun. And, you know, people are just on their blankets outside breathing in the fresh air. So that, even during the pandemic, was a very wonderful, encouraging thing to just go and be like, oh, there's life. It's not quiet everywhere. There are people, and they're doing all right. And here they are.
I love that. That's so good. It's so, it is so hopeful to see like life spring back up. Jenny, I would love for you to tell us just a little bit about your history, and then we're going to talk about your new book, Singing in the Dark, Finding Hope in the Songs of Scripture, which I'm really excited about. But first, I would just love for you to tell us a little bit about you and your history.
Sure. So I have loved music since I have been alive in the world. I fell in love with the piano when I was a very little kid. We had an old, broken, upright, out of tune piano that came to live at our house when I was about two. And I immediately found it and figured out I could play all my favorite songs from the radio and Sunday school on it. And it was so fun. So always loved music. Been writing songs since I was seven or eight. Grew up in Jackson, Mississippi, and then moved to Nashville, Tennessee to go to college and lived there for a good long time. Loved Nashville. Still go back for most of my work things every you know, month or so. And but now I live in New York City. And so I lost my eyesight when I was 3 years old due to a degenerative eye condition. I could see well enough to learn my colors, and my favorite was purple, and was, you know, learning all the people around me. And then I had a surgery that the doctor hoped would restore my vision, or at least save what I had, and it turned out to take everything away. So didn't work at all, but it's okay. My parents were great about saying, go figure out the world and be independent. And so I climbed trees and rode my bike and learned to be fearless, and have tried to pursue life in that way. And started just after college singing for a living, singing the songs I was writing and getting to share those with people and just share the hope of Jesus with people. And so I've spent my adult life doing that, traveling and doing that, which has been really cool.
That's really neat. I love that. So just so you know a little bit about our family, is we have a daughter and she's adopted from Africa and she's deaf. And so,
oh wow!
So we're a signing family. We use ASL. She actually doesn't have vision in one of her eyes, which I forget about all the time. Like her teachers are like, "Well, what about this?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, yeah." I forget about that because her deafness just takes priority.
Right.
But it's the same thing. We hope to raise her as such a brave little girl that like knows her surroundings and knows her limits, but also will continually exceed past those limits and break those like gates that I want to put around her as a mom. Like, this is going to keep you safe. And she's like, let me just try it and I'll tell you how it turns out.
Right. Yes. Oh, it's, I can only imagine for a parent. It has to be hard to do that. And yet it's such a blessing, I know, for kids when parents can do that, because, you know, when they can learn with some freedom, then they grow up to, you know, to flourish, I think.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's like your life and your work is just a testament to your parents being like, go for it, do it, see what you can do. And I just think that it gives me great hope as a mom to be like, okay, we can do this. Like, we can do hard things. We can face some obstacles, and we can let our daughter grow and change the world.
Yes, absolutely. You can. Absolutely.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your new book, Singing in the Dark. Where did this book kind of like, how did this book stem in your heart for you? Like, what is this kind of like, what's the root of it?
Yeah. Well, the root of it and kind of the general overview is it's a book about how to cultivate hope and how to find joy no matter what kind of challenge we're facing in our lives. So I thought about the fact that for me and for most other people, there is a love of music. Like we all appreciate music, and also music for most of us engages us in a way other things don't. Like it involves us, we have to move to the rhythm, or we sing the melody, or we, the words keep going on in our minds long after the song is over. So there's something about music that we engage with in a way we don't engage with, like, speech or anything else. And so I wanted to think about the idea of, instead of just finding hope or having hope in difficult situations, I wanted to think about what it meant to sing hope, like what it meant to be fully engaged with hope in every situation. And the other thing is that we all experience darkness. So for me, as a person that can't see, maybe that darkness is more literal, but we all have trials, whether it's, navigating what it looks like to raise a child with different abilities, or whether it means you have like a terminal illness, or whether it means you're in a difficult relationship, or whether it just means you don't have clarity and you're not sure what the next step is. There's so many ways that we all know darkness. And I think along with that, we all kind of have a song on repeat in our minds. Whether that song is has a melody or not, it always has words. And so for a lot of us, the songs that are kind of going on over and over in our minds are born out of our darkness. They're negative songs. They're songs of doubt and heavy songs. And so in the book, what I really want it to do, because it's been so helpful to me, is to try to take away or rethink the songs that we're singing in our minds. And so to look at songs from scripture. And some of them are literal songs, some of them are prayers or laments, but to study those, and then also to share a lot of my personal story, and to think together about how we can like counteract these negative songs and change what we're singing, basically. So that's what we kind of try to do from the beginning of the book to the end. And then in every chapter, there's a place to kind of write your own song, which might just be a heart song, like just a sentence. It doesn't actually have to be a literal song, but just a place to write what how you respond to what we're talking about. But yeah, it's about learning to sing a new song, basically.
I love that. And I know that when we are in seasons of darkness, when we are, whether, like you said, it's literal or whether it's a season of just like heartbreak or hurt or depression, all of these seasons that we can face, sometimes it's hard to look for the hopeful songs, and all we can see is that darkness. But what joy comes when we can find the songs of hope and really, really work on cultivating that hopeful attitude and hopeful song.
Yes, it is so true. Yeah, and it does take cultivating. I mean, I think in our culture where everything moves so quickly, we want to just be able to feel it and have it and be hopeful. And I'm reminded every day, no, we have to keep coming and creating that song. We have to keep learning. I think first and foremost, it's learning a new song to sing. And that's where the Bible is so helpful, because it gives us so many wonderful songs that we can sing in our darkness. So,
That's right.
yeah.
What does cultivating look like for you when you're in a darker season or just feeling even down in the dumps, as we all can feel like on a especially during COVID, like on a daily basis, just kind of like, ugh. What does
Yes.
cultivating look like for you?
Well, it definitely looks like going to scripture. So I'm in seminary right now, and one of the things I've done during seminary is to take Greek and Hebrew, take 3 semesters of Greek and 3 of Hebrew. And so in order to get through that, I learned that I had to memorize so many paradigms and so many different things. And the way I did it was to just sing them, literally, because then if you make up a song, you just get to offload them, in the sense that you're not trying to work so hard to remember them. You just have them in a song, so then you can just sing it. And it kind of occurred to me, why don't I just sing different scriptures that I find that I want to commit to memory? And so part of it, I think, is praying through and meditating and memorizing scripture, and doing that. For me, that's first thing in the morning. If I kind of don't have that time, it kind of, yeah, I really need that time. And praying, laying out to God all the things that I am concerned about. A lot of times I'll write down specific requests for a day, and then it also looks like connecting with other people that I know can encourage me and give me rest, and which is super important to find. I mean, I know God works, very, very clearly in our times with him, but he also, I think, speaks so much life and light into our lives through others, just through conversations and through the truth that that they can teach us, and through whatever they're experiencing that we might learn from. So yeah, like this season with putting out a new book and being in school and also releasing some new music, it has just been a bit stressful, which I'm not even really sure why, but I've been sort of waking up, at 1 a.m. every day, which is that is not a lot of sleep. So this morning at 1 a.m. I got up and just meditated on some verses and just thought about, what strength do I find in these verses? What hope do, is God speaking to me in these verses? And so it really does work out, practically calming ourselves with the words of truth that and until they're louder than the voices that we are, hearing. So, and after that, for, after a while of that, I was able to finally go back to sleep for a bit, which I was so thankful for. But
Yeah, I bet it's early. I think for me, like that cultivating is very much so like living in that, like the Bible says, like remain in me and you'll bear fruit. And for me, that cultivating is like, where am I remaining? Like, it's easy to remain in the world because the world looks like the world. It's harder to remain connected to our source and in Jesus, and then the fruit that we bear is so different. Like we can bear fruit of the world, but it's not great fruit. But if we're abiding and we're remaining steadfast in the Lord, the fruit that we bear will be so much sweeter, and it will naturally give us hope. Whereas if we're cultivating fruit of the world, that's hopeless.
Absolutely. But it's so hard for us to know that, like you say. It's so counterintuitive because, I mean, encountering the world is as easy as scrolling through our Instagram or Facebook feeds. Encountering God means that we have to be still and show up. And I mean, it's just kind of like with any friend, any dear friend that we have, and when we pursue them as they're pursuing us, and that takes, responsibility. It takes engagement. It takes, taking our time to do it. And those are things that I think have become kind of counterintuitive. We want the quick and the easy, and so it really it is a new way of thinking. It's like it's the challenge of inviting ourselves to remember how important this is and that we need it for life and for strength, like that we can't do it without cultivating that relationship with God. And also just knowing that he is there doing that with us. Like he's not saying, okay, you got to get it together. He's just saying, come to me, be with me, rest, and I'm going to work in you. And I love that so much.
Yeah, me too, me too. What about your new music? What is this new music coming out?
Oh man, so there's a new little EP, which is just a mini album of songs, and it's actually my first kind of worship album that I've done, which is really fun to do, and it's called Sing Hope in the Darkness. So it kind of goes along with the book themes and title. And then the first song, Singing in the, or what's the first song called? Sing in the Darkness. It has come out already. And the second song, Greater Still, which is probably one of my favorite songs I've ever written, it is coming out on this Friday. And the whole album is out May 14th. So,
Oh, that's exciting.
yes, very exciting. So it's fun. It was a very, I think a lot about, what can I sing, or what, in personal meditation and prayer time, and what could other people be encouraged by. And then also just, as one who gets to help lead worship a lot, I'm always thinking about what words do I want people to remember as they are going through their week. And so I wrote with all of those things in mind, this project, but it was really fun to make. Really fun.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by
If you're single and looking to date but don't know where to start, it's time to check out Upward. Upward is a new, free app that is super easy to use. You can create a profile in just minutes, and before you know it, you'll be chatting with other Christian singles near you. Ready for a partner that puts faith first? Then it's time to check out Upward. That's UPWARD. Download the app and find your match today. Okay, so I have to ask you about an old song, one of my very favorites, and I want to just hear your like thoughts behind it and all of that. Two of my very favorite songs of yours are I Am and If You Want Me To. So
thank you.
They're so good, and I still listen to them on the regular. They bring me to my knees, Jenny. Like, it still brings me such worship. And so I would love to know, like, what was their story behind writing either one of those or both of those?
Yeah, well, gosh. So If You Want Me To initially was a song that I wrote, a song I began writing after college, right out of college, when I was looking for a job as a music teacher. And as a person who is completely blind, I realized very quickly, even though I felt quite independent and capable, I realized that administrators did not see me as such. And so kind of saying, well, I know the Lord's trying to teach me X, sometimes I'd be like, I know he's teaching me patience, or I know he's strengthening my character, but I know just around the corner is going to be the thing that he wants me to do. And there was a long season with no job in my field. I did finally get a job doing some telemarketing, which is super awful for an introvert, but at least it was a job and it was with sweet people. So that was a blessing. But I remember that what he had to teach me was that faith means you trust me for the next step, knowing that you don't know what's ahead. So the only thing you're confident in is me, and that I'm leading you where I want you to go. And that it is in the not knowing, it is in the surrender that, I am connected more deeply to God and to what he wants, and also to his heart. And the character, we don't like to think about that, but the character is deepened. So it was initially about that and just learning that I want to, because I know it would be the best plan for me to go through whatever you have for me to go through next, no matter what that means. And so If You Want Me To is born out of that just desire to surrender. Then let's see, I Am was about, just some of my favorite stories. I love how the Bible always speaks, echoes to us of like not only God's faithfulness, but how he uses the most unlikely, uncool characters on the edges of society to make his name known and to make his power clear to, to the world. And so in that song, I just share about several of those stories that I love where God did that. And in every case, he said to those people, here's what I'm going to do through you. It's not about you doing anything. It's about me and my work being made known through you. And how encouraging is that? Yeah. And I think for me early on as an artist, that was something that I really had to learn, because I always thought, I remember having a really big issue with signing autographs and being like, oh, this is so lame. And like, and finally I remember the Lord just kind of in, maybe in something someone said, or just as I was praying, he's like, you keep thinking this is about you. This is about encouraging others with my words of truth and serving them in the way that they invite you to. So get over yourself, So I feel like that's what he did a lot in the Bible too. He kind of told people, stop thinking about, get over yourself and your fears and do what I'm calling you to do.
Yeah, I love that so much. And that's so true, right? It's one of my favorite Bible teachers, Jess Conley, always says, like, we're not the hero. Like, we're not, we're not here to like make this about us or to save anybody. We're just here to be obedient. And that's what you and I were talking just a little bit about before we started recording, was like your obedience in writing music has touched so many people that you may never know, but those seeds of faith have been planted. And that's what God said. He's like, stop thinking this is about you. Like I'm right. doing my thing. Like just yes. be obedient.
Absolutely. And obedience is hard because yeah. we do want feedback. And again, like we were talking about earlier, our culture says something different. Our culture says celebrity is the most important, Christian or not. You know, celebrity is how we know, like we've got our platform, and if we're known, that's how we know we're doing the right thing. And God's like, heck no. How you know you're doing the right thing is if you're walking with me and you're having time with me and you're resting in yeah. me, and like you're saying, abiding, which is also one of my favorite concepts of just being with him and growing with him. And that's when we know. But obedience can feel like such a check. Just such a challenge,
yeah.
At so many times, and so, yeah. So I love. I mean, it is beautiful when you get to hear how your obedience has right. spoken into the lives of others, but also just knowing that you won't always know, but that you know, we want to follow Jesus's example of being obedient and just taking one step after the other and doing what his Father called him to do. And man, it changed the world. So that's what Gosh. We get to do too.
Absolutely. One of my favorite questions to ask authors as their book comes out, especially as it comes out, is we live the book first, then we write the yes. book. And over the keyboard, God really counsels us and tells us over and over again the things that we already thought we learned.
Right.
And so what yes. was some of this keyboard counseling that you walked through as you wrote your book, Singing in the Dark?
I think trying to articulate, like, as I was trying to articulate, like, what, like, God's power in some really difficult stories that we discuss from the Bible, and even in my own story, just God's power, God's light overcoming darkness, and mm-hmm. what that looks like. I think again and again, he showed me the ways he's been faithful in my life. Yeah. And he, I don't know, he just showed me how, you know, how this journey is so much about trusting him. And it's about what happens kind of in the dark. I mean, it really is about the idea that so much of this cultivation is done. Like our growth happens in the dark. It happens yeah. in these dark, difficult, challenging seasons. And, as I look back, I can just see how he's been faithful through those. When I just thought, I wasn't sure he was anywhere to be found, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think recounting my own stories and then working through the Bible stories and songs that we talk about, just seeing not only how God has been faithful to me, but also how he's been faithful just throughout history to people, even in the most difficult circumstances. And also just the beauty of grace, like grace being the idea that God is constantly giving himself to us. And the beauty of that gift, and that he's been doing that throughout history too. He's been there with his people and for his people. And yeah, which I really am so thankful for. So that was one of the things that just kept being brought home, through all the writing.
Yeah. I grew up in Alaska, and so darkness is winter, right? Winter equals yes. darkness. And so whenever I think of like, we need darkness for the next season to grow, right? There's yes. purpose in that dark season. There's purpose underneath that layer, whether it's cultivating, whether it's pruning back, whatever that darkness can be, we have to have that so that the next season, spring, can bloom. And while I would skip every dark season I could ever walk through, I know that we need those seasons, right?
Yes, absolutely. Amen. I love that.
And so again, true. With seasons, we believe that there's a time for everything under the sun. Right now, it's time for coffee.
Yeah, but, yes.
But what is it time for in your own life right now?
Time right now in my own life. Well, I hope it's time for rest.
Yes, soon. You need it. If you're waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
I know. Well, I did go back to sleep. Thank the Lord. But yeah, it's been a couple of weeks of that, so no good. But I think it's also I'm in my last year of seminary, so it's time for studying. Lots and lots of studying, but it's been great. It's like, you know, drinking from a fire hose, but a really great fire hose with all kinds of good stuff coming out of it. So, so it's time for study. It's time for moving forward, and I'll rest sometime. Not sure when, but it'll happen. So,
yeah. Well, Jenny, this has been such a great time. I'm so thankful to sit down with you just to hear your story and for you to show us what a hopeful life looks like in your own life is such an example for what it can look like for others. And I'm just so thankful for you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for your encouragement and for letting me join you today for the podcast.
I really hope that you loved meeting Jenny today. It was so fun to ask her about some of my favorite songs and to hear more of her story and how she has lived a life of perseverance. So be sure to look for her new book, Singing in the Dark. It's available wherever you want to buy books. And to make it super easy for you, I linked it in my Amazon storefront, which is actually linked in my Instagram bio under book recommendations. And be sure to follow Jenny on Instagram at Jenny Owens Official for all her book updates, music updates, and all things Jenny Owens. I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.